It doesn't.
Live from Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carmen MVF Keon. What's that?
Hi, wow.
It looks like you have two hats there, but I'm like throwing off for a second.
That's interesting.
Yeah. How's it going? How's your week?
My week. It was a really good week. What happened? Nothing happened. It's pretty awesome. We saw a documentary last week.
Okay, I was scared for a second. I thought you were going to say something else.
What do you mean? What else?
Just drop it there. I thought you were going to bring up the stuff in Slack. There's a couple spicy. Yeah, don't bring that up.
It's not
good. Well, good. Let it go. I was worried.
We had a once in a lifetime experience. I was just going to tell them a little.
I think it's fine. We don't want to embarrass that person if we don't know who they are.
No, I was just saying I wasn't going to give any specifics. We had a once in a lifetime experience happen in Puebla this week.
Okay. Just that fine? Stop there.
You approve?
Yeah, I know. You got to give them people like you don't want to embarrass anybody, and then you also don't want to sensitive stuff. Anyways.
How was your week?
It was busy, dude. I feel like everybody left now, so this is the time of year when UT's graduated and Austin gets quiet for the summer. I'm looking forward to it.
Except for all the bachelor and bachelorette parties.
Oh, so what's going on this week?
And then
you can see everybody's like graduated and
adults now.
Yeah, we were driving the other day. We saw like people were leaving UT with hats and stuff, so it was cool to see. But yeah, I think I'm looking forward to a quiet summer. Should be nice and quiet for the next, I don't know, May, June, July. It'll pick back up in August again. We do it all over again, Keon.
Well, they do it. The whole earth does it.
I feel like all of Austin can kind of feel it. I don't know. It measures me.
No, it does. You know, Austin has social seasons and
that's
weather
exactly
seasons.
That's exactly what it is, social seasons.
Yeah.
And weather seasons.
Yeah, like I personally like winter a lot. Because everyone is like quiet and they're not out being loud and things just settle down. I like that. Summer is still too wild for me because even if there are some people that graduate and stuff, it's not. And then like leave, it brings in a lot of for some reason, people really love to visit Austin when it's like at its hottest.
Yeah.
It makes no sense at all.
Yeah. This is when everybody leaves because it gets so hot.
Yeah. People who live here leave, but then a bunch of out of towners come in.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the nice and I like summer because it's just like nice and quiet. It's like hardly anybody on the streets. It's not as crazy and loud. And then I also feel like by the time we get to August, September, then ACL, so everything just like kind of starts winding down for the year. And I love the holidays in Austin. I think they're the best anywhere in the world. So
I think I've been in Austin long enough now where I can like safely hate anyone who isn't from Austin who can't like. Comes in and acts a fool, you know? Like, I think I'm in that.
Why? What do you mean? Oh, you mean, like...
I've been here long enough now.
What do you say? Like, they're
just I feel like I'm actually a person who lives... I can claim Austin, you know?
Oh, like
if I were to get an area code tattooed on me, it might be...
I mean, you have a whole business in Austin, so it's like... Yeah.
I wouldn't really call it a business.
You're growing the ecosystem. What do you say that? What is that called?
Giving back to the city,
growing the commerce in Austin with sats.
Yeah, I don't know if that's considered commerce yet.
Or if I think it could be. Away. We're going to talk about it today. If you've never seen this great show before, it's called Stacker News Live. We cover the top five, no, top
One
three. Stint. Wait, top three stories on Stacker.News
as ranked by Zaps from loyal visitors of the site.
Yeah, exactly. Let me see if I can share this one instead. Share this.
So sometimes they can be a bit wonky and hard to predict.
Yeah, so you can check out the YouTube channel. This is where all the cool kids are hanging out these days, I've been told. Looks like we have two live streams going. That's good. You'll love to see that.
Oh, just in case. Yeah, just we have a backup.
Actually, you know, I think this is the so this is this one. Oh yeah, we're doing two this time. We're doing one vertical, one horizontal. Oh, for all you vertical lovers out there.
Will people walk? You mean if like
somebody can just like look it on their phone? Some people just like stare at their phone the whole time, you know? Mm. I mean, these young kids these days, these really intelligent kids these days just love going like this, you know? They just like walk around.
I wonder what it's going to be like when there are like fewer children. Because you know, we're like having a lot less children. I wonder what, like, is it going to feel like a small private school for them?
I think they're probably going to create their own schools.
Because, like, it was, like, kind of crazy. I felt like when I was growing up, I feel like there were kids everywhere. I felt like it was all kids when I was growing up. I'm not a kid anymore. I don't see them, but I feel like it's going to change.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Check out the videos. Wombo makes clips every week. There's some really funny ones. I think the Sam versus Elon one was.
I'd love a clip of Carr eating on the podcast.
This one, I Want to Break Free. This was another one. Yeah, people love that. I don't do it very often, but
it's a treat.
It's a treat when you get it.
I just love like a. Just
for
a,
people asking him,
you when know. I want to get like fired up, maybe if I ever do like a UFC Fear night, nuts. I think I'll just play a few clips of Carr eating on the podcast.
Yeah, Keon hates it when I eat in front of him. It's like his little tick. Too bad, Keon, this week I have to do it.
It's not actually bothering me that much. It wasn't nearly as bad as the pickles. When you would eat, there was like a series of time where you ate pickles.
Dude, I love pickles. Favorite thing in the world. Okay, here we go. Let's go into, let me pull up this here. Sorry.
You're okay.
I'm still getting this.
This is my favorite part of the show. We're figuring it out.
All right, there it goes.
It's very meta. People like meta.
Okay, we're going to jump into the number three top story this week. It's Living in Venezuela 2026. This is from Beef 50. Is it Beef 57? Is that his name? That's funny. Beef 57.
It's a woman.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Is that her name? 25 comments, 13,000 stats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so Beef gives us an update. Beef has been writing about Venezuela for a long time on Stack News, probably since like 2024, 2023.
Is that them right there?
That isn't them because that is not a woman, although it's a pretty, pretty womanly pose. But I think it's just the moment that the photo was taken.
Man, dude.
Looks like he's doing like a little bit of samba up on that
roof. I think it's just the angle. I think he's like actually looking the other way, but the way they shot this. Yeah, this could be angles.
Yeah. Anyway, Beef lives in Peru, but is back in Venezuela visiting family. And was there through Maduro getting ousted.
This is a grape crush, by the way.
And they've been writing about like how the economy's changed or circumstances have changed in Venezuela or how it's different than when they were there. Apparently, so things have gotten pretty bad since Maduro was ousted.
Who's Maduro again for the people that don't pay attention to politics?
The president of Venezuela, who I think, a dictator, I think is more
appropriate. Wait, is that the one that got in a fight with, what's his name?
Fight with who?
What's his name? Safe.
Safety? No, it's not Nicholas Taleb.
Which is the one that got in a fight with Safety?
they do look similar.
No, but didn't he fight a politician, like in the ring or something?
Maduro? That would be crazy.
I could have sworn he was like fighting somebody on, like rage fighting somebody online. Safe. I feel like we covered it.
Nah.
Really?
I don't think so. I think he's like a normal dictator. Like just kind
of.
Which is
the one that he was calling out? Was it? It was one of those. One of those guys. I'll Google it.
Maybe Mele?
Yeah, that was who it was.
Yeah, but Mele's not a dictator. He's like democratically elected. Yeah, but
Safe was fighting him. I was confused. I thought it was this one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is a different.
Different fight.
A different country. So Beef is back in Venezuela and is reporting on what circumstances are like in 2026 in Venezuela. After Maduro is ousted, the picture that from the guy on top of the truck was him picking mangoes. So mangoes go really well in Venezuela, and I guess during periods of food scarcity like they're experiencing now.
So it is
now,
just an angle can.
Maybe, or maybe
it's not like a womanly pose.
Maybe he's getting like sassy up there.
No, I think he's just trying not to know. Fall. Look,
who
he's
knows?
Trying to, look at his legs right here. He's trying not to. He's trying to. Make sure
it's a
not
pretty
to
good stance. It's a pretty good stance. I only know dude. Women to take a stance like that.
That's a Chevy,
defending their child.
Like a Chevy Tahoe, 89.
The coupe, the two door.
He's even missing a back window. This can't be safe.
It happens out there. Anyway, he's picking mangoes out of that tree. I guess mangoes grow like crazy there. There are public mango trees, private mango trees, and it becomes like a main source of food. during periods of food scarcity, and they call it, God, what do they call it?
Beer nuts.
They don't call it beer. They call it the noise takers. They call mangoes the noise takers because they take away the grumble in their stomachs when they're hungry. It takes away their hunger because they're, you know, they're experiencing a significant food shortage. Anyway, that's
beer nuts also do that too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. You want some?
I don't. I bet not for the cost. So mangoes are basically free there. So they become really, they become really important.
I do like me a good mango with a little bit of the
lime,
the chile limon. And the tahin. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, Ted?
No, you can definitely dress up a mango.
Boom. Ted knows.
You definitely dress up a mango, but I bet you get tired of mangoes you're eating like.
Do you remember this?
10 a day.
Here, let me show Ted real quick. Ted, real quick. What does this guy look like he's doing? Does he look like he's striking a pose?
Oh, he's dancing, right?
Who's dancing? This guy right here? What the hell is he doing?
Yeah.
He's dancing.
I think he's playing baseball.
You see
he's queued it up.
Just, but I think baseball isn't a solo.
But doesn't it look like he's setting his feet so he doesn't fall?
Because
look, he's missing a back window. There's a lot going on here.
I think he's catching a mango in that left hand.
What the heck did I just walk into?
What?
I don't know what car I do.
No, I wanted to ask you if you thought his feet were getting set correctly, but
okay. No, he's possibly wearing high heels there. That might be the next place.
Got the back heel.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. So mangoes. So this lady's selling mangoes.
No, what is she selling? She's renting chairs.
Okay,
so they're like mangoes. Oftentimes in Venezuela, they wait in line for certain for like gas and natural gas and propane.
Dude,
and
I'd
stuff
be all
like
over
that
chair.
And so yeah, instead of waiting in line, you can rent a chair from this lady for looks like 50 bolivars. What is that?
50 pesos, I think.
They don't have pesos. They have bolivars. I think that's 50 bolivars.
It's like one peso.
We'll get into a little bit of the currency.
Probably 50 million.
50 million pesos, you think?
No, 50 bull. It's something, depends on who you go by, but central bank rate is. It's
do
probably
they have
like
to 10, know all this stuff too? Screw that, man. Just
it's something
Bitcoin.
Like a nickel.
They should just use Bitcoin instead.
It's like a nickel.
Great. Thanks, Ted, for your expertise.
Or more like 10 cents, actually. It's 10 cents. That's like 10 cents to rent a
chair.
I
wanted to ask you about the mangoes. Do you ever eat mangoes or no? Do you put tahin in there and chile limon?
He doesn't know what that shit is.
Oh, okay. You don't know what that is. Oh, he just eats it raw. Dang. Everybody's raw doggy mangoes these days. It's weird.
It's hard to get creative with mangoes when you don't live off them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're eating a lot of mangoes because they're like short on food and everyone's kind of in, you know, even worse economic straits than they might have been. Before Maduro was ousted, not that Maduro being there was great. He was already doing a pretty poor job with things, but you know, it's economic turmoil happens after leadership ends.
We really do export our debt, don't we?
Yeah. So about that, I guess since Maduro has been ousted, they've been forcing the central bank exchange rates on normal merchants. So Beef says that when you go and you go into any store, you do any kind of deal with someone, you need to make sure you understand which exchange rate they're trying to use. Because earlier, what would happen is there would be like a black market exchange rate. They call it like the parallel rate, where it would reflect actually like global markets in terms of what they price a bolivar to a dollar toward. But more recently, the central bank has been saying, no, you have to use our official rate. And the central bank's official rate makes the bolivar seem more valuable than it actually is. And so it complicates things a lot. But generally in Venezuela, goods are priced in terms of dollars. So like the unit of account in Venezuela is dollars because it doesn't vary much. It's relatively stable. And then the medium of exchange is bolivars. And so usually when you go to buy things, you'll see something priced as like $10. And then you'll do the conversion. And so will the merchant in terms of how many bolivars it takes to...
Yeah, they're getting screwed on this.
Make that exchange. Yeah, so both those screenshots are showing the differences in the, that is the, I believe, the globe, the like true exchange rate, or the market exchange rate, and that the nicer looking app without Bitcoin in it is the central market exchange rate.
Okay, so what is this video now?
That's different. That's a video about some of the policies that are getting pushed, I think, by the current president, who was the vice president under Maduro.
Bien, enlazamos nuestra señal con Venezolana de Televisión, declaraciones de la presidenta encargada Delcy Rodríguez en el marco del aniversario de la misión Vivienda Venezuela.
Taking over people's home. Is that your phone? taking over people's homes and renting them out to people in the public if they're not, if the homes are unoccupied. So they have like a housing affordability problem because their economics are crappy so that people can't afford homes. There are people who have maybe moved abroad who have a home in Venezuela, and the current president is talking about taking over their houses and forcibly renting out their houses so that people can have places to live.
Like Airbnbs and stuff? Or?
I would guess not Airbnb. I don't know what equivalent there'd be in Venezuela. I would guess it's like normal rent, but it would be, it's fun to think about what you might call a
wild stuff,
mango, mango B&B.
This is real life out there, ladies and gentlemen. This is real life happening to real people because we are exporting our debt. I read that in a Jimmy Song book.
Well, I don't think that's, I don't think, I'm not sure this is exact. Like they've been pretty, Venezuela has been pretty separated from the United States.
I feel
States.
Like Safe should fight this guy.
I think this is, I agree, this would be a better fight. Safe. Although
just Maduro is, do us a solid here at Stacker News Live and throw some of your weight around.
Maduro is currently behind bars, I think, in the United States. He was
just
like,
pretend he's using a cast iron.
Arrested. It might be, you might be able to get Trump to agree to enter Ooh. Maduro in a UFC fight with you, though.
Wow.
Given his relationship with Joe Rogan and Dana White.
The world is a media arm.
I think you'd win. I think Safe has a pretty good chance of winning, although there are different weight classes for sure.
Cool stuff. You love to see it. Thank you for posting this beef. And we look forward to seeing you at some point in America. That's where you choose to be. We're going to jump into the number two top story this week. It's going to be cryptography primer. KeyGen, encrypt, decrypt, sign, verify. Keon is from Simple Stacker. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, I thought this is a great high-level entry into cryptography that Simple Stacker wrote. They describe basic cryptographic operations at a conceptual level. Once in college, I took a conceptual physics class, which is taught to people who are like not super mathy, but I just had extra credits that I wanted to get, and I chose another physics class. And I found it really helpful because they often use a lot of metaphor and you end up with a kind of deeper understanding. So this is like kind of a conceptual cryptography primer. They cover key generation, you know, like basically what it means, what encryption means, what decryption means, what sign in message means, and what verifying a signature means, and kind of how they relate to each other and coexist with each other. And, you know, should be, I think it makes it pretty simple for someone who is trying to understand cryptography, what the basic operations are. And from there, you can go deeper if you want, but I think they wrote that they were having a hard time finding just this kind of very entry-level conceptual explanation of cryptography concepts. And so they made one themselves. And
how much cryptography do you use on Stacker News, just like the website?
Is it
very often or
tons of it? I mean, it's all over the place, and it's happening on your computer right now, just not on my website. Every website uses it. It's that little lock icon you see when you visit websites for TLS. We use it to encrypt our wallets. What other kinds of there's cryptography like when you sign in that gets exchanged. Basically, every message you're sending back and forth to Stacker News has cryptography. Every message you send on the internet has cryptography involved. It's pretty much part of digital life, and like because these are all sort of kind of have this public. The internet is like this kind of public pool of things that are happening, and we're trying to maintain our privacy somehow while we're sending messages across it. And cryptography is a really important part of that. Anyway, I thought it was a really great post, especially for some of the stackers who are not technical, want to understand the basics of cryptography, which is really important if you're a Bitcoiner. So
we had the top comment from Optimism said, "Nice job. Minor note about KeyGen: a random number is generally used only to generate the secret key. Public key is then algorithmically derived from the secret, the parent part of key pair. This may be an important distinction because you don't have to back up publicly only the secret or the seed used to derive the secret." As that is generally the only non-deterministic part. Some of the PQ schemes, additional headaches to track, though. What is all that about, Keon?
Yeah, I think he was just saying that you don't have to, like, it wasn't exactly clear in the post, like, whether you need to store both the secret key and the public key. And he was just saying that you can derive the public key from the secret key in an asymmetric cryptography scenario. And so you don't need to worry about storing both. You just kind of need this one secret key. There might be crypto systems where that's not true, but for most of them that we actually use, you only need to store the private key. And then I think he had there was another interesting note from Zesperito about cryptographers, and they don't use, so Simple Stacker described 5 algorithms for a crypto system. And Zesperito says that in cryptography literature, they describe 3 algorithms in 2 sets of, I guess like suites of algorithms, and one suite for signing and another suite for encrypting. And they tend to keep them separate because some crypto systems algorithms aren't safe to reuse a key from one in another. Yeah, I thought that was cool. There was another, also in Optimism comment, he noted that you often use symmetric cryptography alongside asymmetric cryptography. He gave the example of PGP, because you do that because symmetric cryptography is like orders of magnitude faster to do than asymmetric cryptography. So in PGP, you encrypt your messages with a symmetric key, and then you encrypt that symmetric key with the public key of the person you're sending the message to. And then so the recipient, what they do is they decrypt that symmetric key, and then they can decrypt the message.
Right.
And so you end up with these kind of layers like this, but due to the practical limitations of the math involved, you end up having to do these things. But anyway, cool. We got a pretty basic conceptual cryptography thing, and then some people who are a lot more familiar with cryptography chiming in.
Love to see it. We're going to jump into the number one top story this week. The number one. This is, I just completed the Bible reading in under 1 year challenge. This is from Philippe. Christianity Territory, 27 comments, 26,000 sets. Keon, what's this?
Yeah. So I don't know how much reading this is involved here, but in 253 days, they completed all 66 books of the Bible. I guess that would encompass Old Testament and New. Car, you know more about this than I do. Would it?
I'll let you keep reading. Keep going. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, then we'll talk about it. I don't want to take away from the great accomplishment he had.
Oh, okay. And then I guess they read it in Brazilian Portuguese. And they say what they're going to do next is they're going to try to do the same thing, but in English. So they're bilingual at least. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. I didn't expect to get through so fast. So I think it's pretty impressive. And they had done, I don't know, they probably did over 100 posts about their daily progress. The post that where they started it was on August 25th, 2025, is when they decided to do it, and they completed it pretty.
Yeah, I remember when he started it. I remember when he started in the territory, when it was like really incredible. He went more than like 30 days, and it looks like he was going to do it. It's crazy how time flies when you set a accomplishment like that. When I was with my ex last year, we were reading the Bible in this book. It's called like, it's basically like a workbook, and you read like almost like a verse chapter every day, but there's one for a man, one for a woman, and then you do it together. So we were doing that, but we never finished it. You had asked earlier about the books. The Bible has 73 books in the Catholic canon, 46 in the Old Testament, and 27 in the New Testament. What did he say?
66.
Okay, there you go.
So I wonder what.
So he probably has, probably has a few less books there.
Yeah, I wonder if what difference that's caused by. But
yeah, I guess you could.
Maybe it's just because translation, maybe.
I think there's some like books that they don't subscribe to. But I think it's all good. I mean, you get the gist of it, right? You get the gist of the whole Bible.
I assume, some is better than none. But some Bitcoin is better than no Bitcoin, depending on your view of things. But
yeah, good stuff, man. What do you say he was going to do next?
He said he was going to read it in English. He's going to go back and read it in English, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's going to be a bilingual Bible scholar, dude.
If he's really interested, I would just say, like, check out the Catechism. It's for Catholics, but at the same time, you're going to get such a rich history of like theology, and you're just going to be able to learn so much. Yeah, it's awesome. That's what I'm currently trying to get through. It's really, dude, it's so long. But I'm going to work my way through it. I'll get it done eventually. But yeah, I would if he's still searching after this, like what else? Yeah, read it again, and then I would say read the Catechism, because there's a lot of stuff in there that people have been thinking about for
millennia.
Yeah.
Literally millennia.
Yeah.
He also said that he really enjoyed this accountability format, and so he might try to do it with something else. He said guitar playing is another one he might try to do it with, and music. Sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes we're like on the brink of maybe actually making progress on something, and all it takes is publicly committing to doing something to get you over the hump. And
yeah, I was talking to somebody today. I won't say who it was, but they were asking me like what has changed since you started, reading the Bible or reading catechism, whatever it's been. And I said, I just don't worry, or I'm not very anxious. And those things happen to me. I do start worrying. I do become anxious when I'm not reading catechism, the Bible, you know, whatever it is, and like not doing like a rosary or something. I feel like I was telling him, I was like, yeah, if I do those things, I'm never worrying or I'm anxious. But when I don't do those things, then I'm, yeah, you can usually tell there's a difference in me. Mm-hmm. But I'd be curious. I would be curious to read a follow up on like how he's changed personally from when he started doing this to what he's doing. You know what I mean? To what he is.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
Because I definitely think it fundamentally changes you.
Yeah. What did you learn? That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. I bet you he's definitely changed as a person. It's
probably going to take a lot of processing.
Yeah, for sure. That's all the top three stories we have this week on Stacker News Live. We're going to jump into our stories. But the first one is Wumble's Picks. Wumble, the wonderful world of Wumble's Picks. Every week we go through Wumble's Picks and he tells us about he wants to see. So this is the wonderful world of Wumble's Picks. This week he wants to talk about even the Pope gets hassled by KYC. Did you see this, Keon?
I did see it, yeah, because it's Wumba's Picks. And who ignores Wumba's Picks?
You do, apparently.
I did last week, but never again for the foreseeable future. And I can't see very far, but...
Yeah, so basically what happened was there is this guy, his name... I can't show the thing because there's not an Arvix. Let me see if I have it. Oh, yeah, here it goes. Here's a TikTok I think I can share. Okay, so this guy here... Let me open this up over here.
Is that Pope Leo?
No, so this guy... where is it at? Let me share this. How many shares do I have? Okay, so this guy here was telling the story about Pope Leo when he called the bank and said that he was trying to change his password or his phone number or something like that. I forget what it was. Do you know what it says there?
Yeah, he's trying to change his address and his phone number to the Vatican. I think Pope Leo was calling.
Oh, he was trying to change.
He was calling his home bank in Illinois.
Yeah, and then they told him no, and they hung up on him.
Because he answered all the questions accurately, but they're like,
it kind of makes sense why you would have to go inside the bank, though. It kind of makes sense, but you would think like they would know who they were talking to. But it's his name's not Leo, right? So it's like, so there's that.
Well, he said at the end, I guess part of the call was him like, what? Because
he said, would it help if I'm the Pope?
Yeah, if you knew I were the Pope, and they hung up on him. And then he like had to back channel to the bank president to get.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. Because like the way he tells it to where how it's covered in media is two different languages. But the way he tells it, it sounds like hilarious. I definitely recommend checking out that video. I'm playing it right now for the people. The other thing is, I saw this one. So this was trending. Pope Leo wearing some Nikes. Boom.
That's a Nike
ad, apparently. Anyways.
Got that spiritual swagger.
Where is... So Wumbo said, is there a black swan event, data breach, or outspoken celebrity that you think could convince the majority of the public to reject business that require KYC?
Yeah,
I don't understand that. What was he asking there?
He was asking like, what might change people's position on KYC? Like this is all about the Pope failing KYC, basically. He was trying to call his bank.
No, I think they just wanted to see him in person, right?
No, they wanted him to verify who he was over the internet or over
the phone
telecommunications. Okay. Yeah. And he failed to do that. And so they're like, well, you need to come in. You need to come in physical person.
Yeah.
And we need to know that you are who you say you are. We need to know who our customer is.
So he's asking, do you think we'll ever reject that?
Yeah. Is there anything that might change the public's perception with regard to that is what he's asking.
I do think so. I'd like to hear what you have to say first, but I have an idea.
Yeah. My main view of it is I'm not sure the public perception is ever going to change, like, about KYC. Phyllis, I think people don't care about their privacy. They kind of disregard it. But I do think the data, like data breaches and AI, will make it so burdensome. We'll have to develop the banking system and the government will have to develop very burdensome KYC practices, such that people will at some point prefer, rather than the burden of KYC, they will prefer the burden of taking responsibility over their own money and taking custody of it themselves. So they will avoid using banks. That is what will happen. I mean, it's possible that, you know, banks get kind of lax on KYC, and that might be pretty great for privacy too. But I think it's generally bullish for things like Bitcoin that are pretty well protected by things like the United States Constitution and stuff.
I honestly think if you just, like, I used to hang out with somebody who like did not ever, never KYC'd, and I saw him do it in so many different ways. So it would be curious to see, like, I think if the more you see it, the more it's going to make you want to do it too. Like, you have to see other people do it, and then I think that'll get them going. I just don't think there's enough of people not trying to KYC. Just like there's not enough of people that aren't trying to go through a scanner at the airport. They're just going to go through the scanner. They're not going to opt out.
Yeah, no one wants to feel like a black sheep. But if we're all black sheeps, you know, who doesn't love it? Who doesn't love being a black
sheep? I do think there is one way to make sure this never happens again. But I don't think we should do that, though, which is just basically revolt. But
we should do what?
Revolt. Just revolt.
We should all revolt?
Yeah.
How do we get that to happen?
I mean, you think there's a lot of ways to make that happen, but
do you think we get the Pope, like the Pope, it might be on the Pope's mind. I think we can bring him up.
No, I don't think this is why you shouldn't do that. But I'm saying that, I think that would be the black swan event that he's asking there. Is there a black swan? I think, yeah, if the American public just went and revolted together, then that would be the black swan event that would change this, if this got them up in arms. But I don't think there would ever be something like that would happen personally. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I doubt that there will be a revolt. Most people I know don't seem to have much of a problem at all. They kind of accept it as just what needs to happen for them to get a bank account.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So I don't think that's ever going to happen. That's Wumble's Picks. Tune in next week for Wumble's Wonderful World of Wumble's Picks, this time on Stacker News Live. We're going to get that going. Wonderful World of Wumble's Picks. I like how that sounds. We're going to jump into Keon's posts. Keon had Jane Goodall's famous last words and how the planet is not a thing. What is this?
Oh, yeah. So
who is this lady?
That is Jane Goodall, the woman who did a lot of research with chimps, I believe, and taught us a lot of what we know, like our modern understanding of chimps and their like social hierarchy. What was she doing with the chimps? I think she was living with them for a long period of time. I think she moved to Africa and was living with quite a few chimps for a long time. And so there's been a number of documentaries about her. She's like one of the most famous biologists ever. And I guess she recently died. A lot of this work, I think, was done in the 70s, maybe earlier. And she recently died, and there's a series on Netflix that
interviews people. Satoshi was on the Netflix documentary? Why is he here?
Yeah, he's actually Jane Goodall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Not really. Jane did an interview with this Netflix series that interviews people who are like prominent public figures who are about to die or are old enough that they might die soon. And then after they die, they release the interviews. And so this is Jane Goodall's famous last word. Den watched it and he had a bunch of thoughts on it, mostly relating to Jane Goodall's like portrayal of the like liberal canon or like the way she, while she's an expert on chimps and that field of biology. She spent an awful lot of time signaling about her political preferences with relation to like Trump and climate change and things like that. Wants to launch Elon on one of his rockets and Trump and a bunch of other people into space, type of stuff like that. And while he was frustrated by that and evoked a response in him, I think he was also understanding that. I think it's just like something that you kind of do as part of, if you're like a university professor, you're part of these circles, you begin to, just to conform, you emit these words out so that people accept you or view you as like part of the group.
She's still alive, you said?
No, the whole premise is that she's dead. Oh, is, and that's why they released the interview. Like, they don't release these interviews until they're dead.
Oh, wow.
So she recently died. I think it was.
How do they know that she was going to die?
I think they. I think just because she was old as fuck. I think that's most.
That's terrible.
That's terrible. I mean, it's like we all know that we all die, and so she's getting. I think she was pushing 90, and so we're like, okay, she can only, you know, it's, you know, 10 years maybe.
Jeez. So what's all this other stuff? What's all this other? Because I feel like there's more than what you said.
Yeah, it was mostly about her thought, her, like the opinion she shared on climate change. And she shared things like she thinks we're going to enter another extinction event because she's very concerned about all kinds of wildlife. Mm. And she was like, we're destroying the earth and, you know, we're going to extinct a lot of species. And then, from like more of an economic lens, is like, well, what are the trade-offs? What are we gaining for the disruption that we have maybe in climate? And what is actually the appropriate climate for Earth? One person's opinion might differ for another. No one really has a say or control over it, even if we could control the climate. You know, all the typical arguments you hear here where it's very murky because it's like we're all just kind of approximating and trying to make sense of the world still because there's not really hard science or as hard a science as we might want in some of these areas. But and so we take these political lines.
What do you
them.
Think? Do you think we should destroy the Earth?
I definitely don't think we should destroy the Earth. That's my opinion on that. How about you? Are you pro Earth destruction?
I think we definitely do have dominion over the Earth and its animals and everything, but we also have to be good stewards of it. So I think we got to find that balance. But unfortunately, I don't get to make those decisions.
Do you think it'd be good if you did make those decisions?
I think everybody would be good if Carr made all the decisions.
Really? President Carr?
No, I would never run.
I hear Venezuela's.
But I think I feel like I would make good decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have the right head on my shoulders for it.
I feel like I would not have a good time.
But it seems to me like that. The people that are forced, that are thrust into power and stuff like that, like they go and seek it. So it's like usually the people that make the best people to lead aren't the ones that are trying to seek more power.
Do you think so? Are you seeking more power or not?
Not at all.
Oh, I see. So you're a good pick. Because
no,
you don't
asked
want
me,
the power.
You asked me. You, I know. You asked me. I didn't say, I think I'm the best. No, I didn't say that. You asked me. And I said, yeah, I think I would make great decisions.
Yeah. And so, but you don't want it. But you'd also make good decisions. Which means
I don't want it. No.
Someone should.
But if everybody was like, Carr, we want you to do this, you have to do it. And I'd be like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I'll take it seriously.
And I'll do a fuck. Oh, great job.
And I'll do a really good job.
I'll fix it. Fix the earth.
This is what I do. This is what I do for
Carr, the earth fixer.
Not the fixer, but I'm definitely the person that will make sure it goes well.
Heyo.
Really cool stuff, man. Hopefully, you know, hopefully she made it to heaven, and hopefully I get to see her one day. Famous last words. The next one is Everyone Is Lying to You. This is Keon's. Another movie. Man, you're turning into a movie guy, aren't you? Look at this.
A movie. I mean, all movie guys at this point.
Cryptocurrency. You remember this guy? He's really short. No balls, right? You might I feel like I gotta pick them up. Could have just lifted him like a little baby. Sort of.
He looked like maybe 5'7", 5'8".
No, he was shorter than that. He was like 5'5".
Oh.
It's crazy because he's married to that really hot wife of his, you know? It's wild.
Well, it's like height more than height matters almost, you know?
But his wife is the one from Firefly. Her. It's wild, dude.
I saw her in, there was a like an alien series where she played.
Oh, yeah,
like,
she was good there,
she
too.
She played,
yeah,
like the king alien.
Yeah. Apparently, she's like just like a really good actress. Yeah, her right there.
No, I think she might just be humble, but I think there was I think I watched something where she said
she's shorter than him, which is wild. They're just two short people. Anyways,
I guess they are pretty, they might be pretty short.
Yeah, they're pretty short.
I mean, this documentary was short on facts, I'll say that.
yeah, his claim to fame was interviewing SBF right before he got arrested.
I mean, it was actually pretty, I mean, he did a pretty good job of like, man, this whole thing is going to blow up. And so he went in and he interviewed all these people with a critical eye. Even when I think there were Bitcoiners who didn't have a critical eye of these people, he was in there interviewing them with a critical eye.
Yeah.
And then it blew up and he was able to make a pretty great documentary about it.
It's crazy because like in the, when they asked him after the whole talk at the end, they basically said what's the strong arm case for Bitcoin? What was it like? What's the straw man? What did he say?
Oh yeah, yeah. What is the steel man?
Yeah. What is the steel man? And then he literally sounded like freaking Jimmy Song. I was shocked. I was like, what? This guy understands Bitcoin. So I don't believe it for a second. I think he's just a hired actor and playing a character.
Wait, you don't believe this is his point of view that he doesn't like crypto?
Not at all. No, I think he's just playing an act.
Oh no!
I looked into the production company, The Forge. So they're basically this like British holding company that tracks. No one in Britain has Bitcoin, right?
Oh yeah, no. James Bond is British, so
yeah, they don't believe Bitcoin over there.
No, anyway, so I'm still under the assumption that Ben McKenzie just doesn't like Bitcoin, but I found it.
I think he does. I think he's just doing it for money.
It's very possible that. You know, that I think that kind of thing happens where people misrepresent their point of view publicly because they're afraid or they're paid to. Mm-hmm. And that could be the case here.
It's one of those, yeah.
Regardless, I think the documentary was pretty good. And I found it pretty entertaining.
Very entertaining.
Yeah, I found it was very funny. He talks very about funny. Himself a lot, but
he's hilarious.
Yeah, it's a self-deprecated type of way. Although I think he just needed to. It grounds the documentary pretty well, telling the story about him. And
yeah, I think you said it here. It's a good anti-Bitcoiner movie.
I thought it was good. I thought it actually was good for Bitcoin. I actually think that...
Yeah, it's not good for Bitcoin. I think it's good to scare somebody...
It's not
somebody,
good for Bitcoin's price.
It's good to scare somebody away from crypto.
Yes.
This movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that is generally what should happen because most people will be attracted... to crypto more than they are Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's funny. Somebody should make a documentary like this, but not shit on Bitcoin. Like, or not lump us in the same category. Because I noticed every time they like he would go into like, you know, like anything when it came to Bitcoin's like properties, he would scoot away from it right away. And if you watch Jon Stewart, I kept saying this, you watch Jon Stewart interview, you'll see that he's very much a avoids those questions. Jon Stewart understands Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think Bitcoiners would do themselves a service I think part of what happens in Bitcoin is you can't even talk about scams without people, because people don't really read or engage with material. They like assume you're a scammer for even mentioning a scam. But I think what Bitcoiners need to do is like really, really take apart scams and make these things obvious how much of scams they are a little more frequently. And I think that would actually be much better for Bitcoin than nearly anything else you could do for Bitcoin. And if you wanted to get more people adopting Bitcoin.
Did anybody else say anything? Oh, all right. Well, yeah, check it out. Stackers was good. Maybe wait for Netflix. The other one that you had was where should Joy Market develop focus next? Which one's this one?
Oh, yeah. So Moer asked this. I guess they're looking for... what to work on next, the Join Market team is. And yeah, they're like trying to, Join Market has always been like one of few Lindy Bitcoin privacy tools out there. The other ones we might know are Samurai and Wasabi, but Des Moines market is kind of like that, but more decentralized than its construction. He's asking what can we do? What should we be focusing on Join Market? Like, what's the ideal user experience for Join Market? And they're thinking of doing something like a mobile wallet where it's just, you know, a few clicks, you kind of get your coins are separated from their history. And he asked hackers, you know, do they have a differing opinion on that? And I just thought it was an interesting discussion about the state of Bitcoin privacy.
Looks like Scoresby at the top.
Yeah, Scoresby's like, you know, even if you're using a centralized, like something like Wasabi or Samurai, where the coordinator is centralized, it's probably still way too hard for people to use because most people aren't even going to take custody themselves. And then Crew, who runs, I believe it's Wasabi. I think it's Wasabi. One runs a Wasabi coordinator, chimes in as well. And he has some opinions on how that should work. And I would probably, if I were Mower, I'd reach out to Crew, because I think Crew probably has a great grip on like what products like this need.
What's this year?
I did not see this. I think this is this something from Darthcoin or Supratic or Darthcoin. I think, you know, Darthcoin is anti on-chain privacy for the most part, or he believes in privacy, but he thinks it's impractical on-chain. I think so we should all just be using Lightning more.
Yeah, and there's a couple people that would agree with him on that.
Yeah, it's definitely a great, there are a lot of trade-offs with running a Lightning node, but it is if you're doing a lot of payments, it is a great way to make private payments. You're making a lot of payments.
All right, so we're going to jump into your next story. Let's see here. Or do you have another one after that? Oh, no, that's all of them. I guess we'll jump into some of the AI stuff I saw this week. The first one was Richard Dawkins says that Claude appears to be conscious. Did you see this?
I saw the headline. I did not read it. I don't know what he thought about it.
Whatever. Okay, I'm looking for cars here.
Are you a robot car?
Could be.
Are you a human? Are you an AI?
See, I'm not a robot.
Solved it.
Is AI the next phase of evolution? This is Claude appears to be conscious. It's from Richard Dawkins. He goes into, you know, what the Turing test is. I mean, just basically watch Ex Machina. You know, get the gist of what he's talking about. I think the most interesting thing here. Did you read this at all?
No, I haven't. I haven't read it.
I think the most interesting thing here is that he appears it to be conscious. Went ahead and did some fact checking for you stackers, because that's what Carr does before the show. He fact checks everything.
Except except our opinions, of course, because that's where rubber hasn't met the road yet.
We're world stage media arm, just like the government's. But anyway, here, I want to share this though. So, because I was looking at this earlier, because I was confused for a second. I was like, okay, so let's go to conscious. This is what he's saying here. He's saying that conscious generally means aware, knowing what you're doing, being aware of relevant facts. Let me move this over to the bigger screen here so we can get Keon to see it. So this is what he's saying Claude is right now. And I think I would genuinely agree with this here. What do you think?
I think they do. They have been designing for, I think they call it like self-attention in machine learning, but the ability for it to kind of think about itself.
Yeah. So the other most interesting thing is this here. So like if we were talking about conscience, that would be your inner moral judgment. Definitely Claude doesn't have that. Here's it right here. So if you're having consciousness, is having mental awareness. Claude doesn't have that. Conscious, aware, knowing, especially of what you're doing and its meaning. I feel like, yeah, that most ancients have this. Conscience, your moral judgment. The other thing I thought was really interesting, they added this here. This is why I love using Magisterium. It was talking about, where is it here? Spatial awareness. Let's see. Oh, yeah, right here. Notes that states of consciousness are not spatial like physical things because they exist only as experience. And they say something in Latin. Being is being perceived. Does that make sense? Are you, Keon?
Being is being perceived.
This is why I want to learn Latin, dude. I feel like there's a lot here that I've.
I think Jimmy was learning it a few years ago.
I mean, the more you really dive into some of the old texts, the more you start realizing that it's probably in your best interest. So like spatial states of consciousness are not spatial, like physical things, because they exist only as experience. So that's where I'm starting to realize that, like, even if we get LLMs or you know, these agents, I don't think they'll ever be consciousness. They'll ever have consciousness.
Well, I think
definitely this one, conscious, but not consciousness. That's a whole nother thing that they can't ever do. This is what we and you were talking about this a long time ago. It's just like, it's just impossible for them to.
Yeah, because it's a property of souls, is I think what.
Well, it doesn't even say that in here. It says it's more of a, well, like, I guess we can ask it, but like, it has to be experienced. So like, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of, like, seeing this, it reminds me of Ex Machina, where that's kind of what that person was doing. So all that to say is, like, this is a really good, interesting article. Definitely check it out. He talks about his way that he was testing for conscious aware LLM, which I think you already know if you're telling it to go do this and do that, and then at some point it comes back with logical conclusions on the state of where anything is at. I don't know. What do you think about all this stuff? Am I making sense? Am I sounding too gibberish?
I get the impression you like the article. I think that's pretty.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's the most fascinating thing of our time. The other thing I wanted to share this week was this article here was introducing Amazon Bedrock Agent Core Payments built with Coinbase and Stripe. And this scares the crap out of me because, and I said this like 2 weeks ago, nobody listens. But I really do think we are getting to a point where, and you've said this multiple times, and I've heard other people in the space say this too, that they don't think Bitcoin is ever going to be used for these payments.
I have never said ever.
Okay.
I said.
You said a form of that.
It's not going to happen anytime soon.
So keep thinking like that. And if the more bearish you sound about stuff like that, this gives them the upper hand. And I think this, like, everybody's worried about quantum. I'm more worried about this, because I think they're going to try to box us out of this whole new market, this whole new economy all over again, just like it happened in the web. And that's where everything's are going. So if we don't start making our own payment systems and start using Lightning, we're gonna get left behind, dude. Like, we're not even left behind, we're just gonna get boxed out of this new world that's getting built. It sucks. Anyways, that's my rant for this week.
Yeah, so to cover my point is that I don't expect machines to behave differently than humans do. And so if I see humans that I know who declare themselves as Bitcoiners unwilling to use self-sovereign tools like Bitcoin and Lightning, I don't see the reason why agents would do the same. And so if they can make, and so I fully expect people to expect their agents to do what they do, which is to use fiat payment rails and do all the fiat payments.
Not anymore. The game is on. The game has been set, Keon. I think this is all people need to see. People that are building right now, I see Bitcoin nowhere here. No Bitcoin. Just see a bunch of Coinbase shitcoining. It's not good. Look at this. Where we're headed, micropayments are the first step addressing the early agent-to-agent commerce patterns, where we see the most immediate pull. Beyond micropayments, we see a natural expansion into broader commerce flows, where agents act on behalf of buyers, not just other agents. Bitcoin's being boxed out. Do you think you'll
I think Bitcoin has boxed itself out.
Do you think you'll be able to allow us to buy booking flights through Stacker News for reserve hotels? Look right there.
I don't think our product has anything to do with that.
You think you'll get to there at some point if everybody else boxes it out?
I don't know exactly what you're saying.
I'm trying to get you to give me a reaction here.
I don't share your point. I mean, you started out by saying Keon disagrees with me, and now you're like,
yeah,
you agree with me, bro? No, I don't.
You don't think we should be proactive on trying to make more
payments? I think we should try to make Bitcoin payments better and more usable for humans and machines alike. That's my point of view. I get that we want to talk about and we want to be upset about
that's how we get them started.
Machines using fiat payments, but I think humans are smarter, right? And they have consciousness and these things that we just discussed, and they don't even do it. So I don't know why.
That's not true.
I don't know why.
That's not true. You saw the Cash App thing. Okay.
Well,
we reported on that like 2 weeks ago. There's like 2,000 locations that accept Bitcoin.
If what I'm saying is not true, then I am ignorant or lying, and I'll let it rest.
Well, Stackers, if you're building something, wrap some lightning into it. It's all the same. Here we go. That was the last one. Oh, I didn't, to make things even worse, Google Cloud right here. Fraud defense. Did you see this? You see this crap?
I also saw the headline of this, but
they're throwing us. So apparently, click on this because I prepare. Boom. Look at this. Introducing Google Cloud fraud defense. The next evolution of reCAPTCHA. So basically what's going to happen is you're going to show your phone and you're going to have to scan it. If you don't have a Google iPhone or Google iPhone, if you don't have a Google Pixel or an iPhone, guess what? You don't get to use the web either. You thought you could use the web, not anymore. You thought you could use payments, not anymore. Unless you have an iPhone. You're getting boxed out. Everybody's getting boxed out, Kia. Boxing you out.
Is that how that works?
That's how that works. You have to scan it.
With an iPhone or just any
iPhone or Google? Right here, look, boom.
It has to be like an Android operating system or...
This is crazy, man. This is nuts. I'm very upset about this. This is like... I mean, I understand why they're doing it, and I get it. Yeah, sure. Yeah, but like, I mean, this is how they lose. I think this is what's going to happen. I think this is how Google loses. I think people are going to jump off their systems, not going to use their products. And they're just going to move over to something else like Proton. I mean, this is people always wonder like how is it going to happen? Well, you do stupid crap like this. This reminds me of COVID all over again. No, we're just not going to let people in.
Well, the interesting
thing, guess what happens? People just stop showing up.
The interesting thing is like, this isn't, I mean, if I don't know what they're reimagining of reCAPTCHA is, but it's not that reCAPTCHA is just using Google products. It's used on I would guess like 30 to 50% of websites on the internet integrate reCAPTCHA. They use Google's technology for fighting spam and bots in their own website. And so that's actually what this isn't like just Google is sectioning themselves off the internet. That's why they can make these decisions.
Good luck with that. This is bullish for Noster. This is super bullish for Noster. Just telling you, you don't need to scan your phone to use Noster. I'm just saying this is like a big mistake by Google. I'm calling it now. Carr's calling it now. This is the beginning of the end of Google if they go through with this. I hope they don't go through with it. I'm telling you. I don't make bold statements like this unless I'm right. This is the beginning of the end. It's true. Look it up. Like, I have a track record of being right all the time on this show. Keon, come on.
You have been right before.
When I make bold statements like this,
statements are bold.
No, this one's the most bold one I said this year. Haven't said another bold one this year.
This is your most boldest statement.
This is my boldest statement. You ready for it?
We're going to do it.
End
of the year.
Boldest. I'm telling you, this is the beginning of the end of Google. If they go through with this, the end of Google. Everybody's leaving. This is dumb. This is the dumbest thing you could have done. Apple wouldn't even do this. That's how stupid this is. Beginning of the end of Google. Maybe they'll go this way. This is kind of, you know what this reminds me of? The same blunder they did with, remember when Gemini came out, and this is why they lost the lead with whole AI stuff, and no one uses their AI stuff because it's a joke. Remember, because it was like doing different races and all that stuff. Remember that whole thing? Remember that blunder?
I do remember.
This is the same thing. This is the same thing. This is the blunder that they're going to make. It's dumb. Fired up on a
Friday. I haven't read the article, so I don't understand it, but.
Anyways, Stagger's calling it now.
Sounds interesting.
Beginning and the end of Google. All right. I think the last one that we have is. Do we have the last one? Oh, yeah, we do. Last one I had was this one. This is another reason. Look, this guy's ready to kill himself. look.
I think he got hacked. Is that loaded, his hand?
Yeah. He got hacked. Wow. So this guy did a whole. This is one of the YouTubers I watch. Right? He's a really funny guy.
He's got that hand unition.
I mean, he's a really funny dude. He like does really good movie reviews. Anyways, I love his movie reviews. But he got hacked for like a week on his Google thing. So this is another reason why Google's not even protecting the people that they can protect. Like, dude, poor guy was ready to shoot himself. Look,
what is going on, everybody?
He's talking about how he got hacked and how he like all this stuff. Look, poor guy. He's trying to honest YouTuber there.
And I'm blown away by how patient these hackers. What did he get?
Email every couple days, like, oh, by the way,
so basically what happened is he got sent a like an email every day to join some kind of a program or something, and then eventually he said yes, he clicked on the thing, then he signed in, and then it was game over. And then they basically sent him, yeah, this is where Bitcoin gets blamed for everything. They basically sent him this. You see that right there? Change the thing here. They basically sent him this.
It's like ransom. Yeah.
5,000K within 24 hours to one of these wallets. Otherwise, I'll release the banned funds without the right to restore them. Then it gives a Bitcoin address, a Tether address on Tron, and an Ethereum address.
I guess that shows like which currencies are liquid.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. There you go. Anyways.
Poor guy.
It's all breaking before our eyes. Google's breaking before our eyes. Hate to see it. You hate to see it, man. You really do. Anyways.
Maybe that wouldn't happen with ReCAPTCHA 2.0 from Google. Your friends at Google. No,
people will just leave YouTube.
You're not evil friends from Google.
Yeah. Anyways, that's all the stories I have this week. We should get into Meta, or you want to get into the Pleb Poet Zine?
I'll let you decide.
All right. Pleb Poet Zine. And there is no zine. I thought there was a zine.
Nope.
Did you read this?
It's just an announcement of a non-announcement.
What's going on?
Pleb Poet, I guess, was not feeling it this week. And as her own boss and chief executive officer, she decided not to do the zine. Plus, it's Mother's Day, and she has a mother. So it's like a holiday. And she's a, you know. She maybe hopes to be a mother someday herself, too.
Oh, what is this year? Is it a video?
Yeah, I think it's a video of her website. She's checking it out. She's doing her own reactions to her own S&Z covers. Stuff like that. She's big on the video socials. Check her out. We should get a zine whenever she's ready to do another one. So. Stay tuned.
Well, I think just people aren't buying them, right? Like she said, she only has like four or five people.
We have six subscribers. It's pretty consistent.
People want a zine for Stagger News. You got to subscribe. If you don't subscribe.
Well, I think it's important that we just make them and they're available online. And if you do want a physical copy, you can have one.
I think you should just buy it and don't ask for a physical copy. Save the paper.
I would be like, don't send it to me, fools.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
There you go.
Maybe.
Just subscribe to support. That's what I would say.
Well, we don't want, this isn't.
It is a charity.
We aren't giving out grants or anything. But like just if you would like a physical copy of some of Stacker's content, that would be how you'd get it. Yeah.
Love to see it. The next one is Meta. What is this, Keon?
Oh, yeah. So when a stacker gets a year's worth of cowboy hat. Like they keep their cowboy hat streak for a year. They get an official Stacker News cowboy
hat. Where's my cowboy
hat? They get the real deal. We material. We have a fancy machine that Willy Wonka himself
made.
Also known as Scoresby, and it turns the year cowboy hat streak into a physical Stacker News cowboy hat.
What happens if you've just been doing a Stacker News live show for 3 years? You get a cowboy hat then?
Nope, you don't get shit.
Bullshit.
You don't
get some
shit.
Bullshit.
You don't get shit.
Some bullshit.
You don't get anything.
Dang.
Yeah.
You see how I get treated here, Stackers?
Yeah, it's so bad. This so is bad. You're eating beer, prisoner of war.
Grape juice.
I'm actually an ICE agent undercover here.
Oh wow!
Here to torture your people. So we sent one of the Cowboys streak holders, one of few, was Coins Reporter, and we sent him a hat.
Ducks.
All the way to India, and that is the cat case. That is the hat case that Scoresby was able to find that allows the hat to like keep in its shape. Even under like weird shipping conditions, so it won't get crushed.
Get rid of Jimmy Song and just let him wear this everywhere, and that'll promote Stacker News.
Jimmy Song has not kept his cowboy hat streak on Stacker News for a year.
I just gave him an honorary cowboy hat.
That is not how this works. I'm not Harvard University. I'm not trying to give people honorary PhDs. This is hard. This is earned stuff. Okay.
Apparently, only by a badge in a
cowboy world, there was no honorary degrees. There's no honorary anything. You had to earn your way. All right.
And that's, you get this too?
Yeah. I think Scoresby sent him poster of his. Like this one. He sent him a card as well. Yeah. But Coins Reporter did a great write up about it. It was really tricky to get it to them because they're, you know, India is a huge country, billions of people, and, you know, lots of places, like lots of relatively rural places throughout India.
Who writes these little quips, by the way?
I believe those the cowboy hat ones were Kevin Rose initially.
No, but who writes these little quips here? These little like
the harsh. I believe frontiers. Kevin Rose wrote that.
You mean Kevin Rook?
Kevin Rook, my bad.
Yeah. This same, hat will same protect guy. You from the sun dust. That's interesting.
Yeah, we have like a few of them that we rotate through if you haven't noticed.
Only a few.
Yeah, we have like five.
Oh wow.
You can
Can I make one? Can I write one?
Nope. Not unless you're in a cowboy hat streak. That'll be part
of. You should do like a 30-day cowboy hat streak, and then people can write a little quip.
I can't trust people to do that, though.
I know, but you don't have to. I mean, if it's good, then you use it. If it's not,
it's very
good.
Low proof of work. 30 days.
Okay, like 60 days.
Too low. Maybe if they do a Google reCAPTCHA, we'll be able to let them do that. But he like talks about how it was like a big deal in his
Is he wearing his hat here?
That's not him.
Oh, okay. I was like, what? That was crazy. What was that? You're right, Ted.
I think he got a fly over there.
Oh, I thought he got murdered over there. That sounded loud.
I don't think
right through my headphones.
A smack like that could hurt.
Oh, is that him right there? Triple doxed. Dang, people just doxing themselves.
That's a picture
hats.
Of him with his brother wearing the hat.
Oh, it's his brother.
Yeah, but it cost. We had a hard time figuring out how to get it to him because we'd put in Google, like, how to get, like, what his address was. And Google's like, that's not a real address or whatever. And then Scoresby went to, I think, the FedEx and UPS, and they were like, it's going to be like $600.
Really?
and then,
why is it so expensive?
I don't know. But then we went to USPS, and they did it for $90. So that's how we eventually got it to them. But that is a story of Coins Reporter's hat.
Yeah, crazy. Well, Coins Reporter, we're about to jump into your favorite segment of the week. It's called Top Cowboys, baby. Giddy on up, Keon. Here we go. Ah, yeah. Because I'm a cowboy. I'm not a cowboy because why don't you wear the nicer hat?
Well, you guys, when I was wearing it, you guys were like, no. See, this is the problem. Is like I do one thing one episode and you guys are like, you're wrong, Keon.
I've
and then
always
I like
that hat to be honest.
And then I switch it the other way and you're like, you're wrong, Keon. And I just keep doing whatever. But I can wear the other hat.
No, you can wear it. I mean, tis out, bro. See, this one makes you look wise. Oh yeah. Look at that. Dang, dude.
I look like I wrestle alligators.
You look like you're just like a a rich Bitcoiner with a lot of knowledge. There you go.
Yeah, but I like a lot of knowledge about like scanning animals too. Whoa. That's how I feel.
Top number one comment, or number one is in Heine. We don't know who that is. There's Coop there. There's Blockchain. Whoa, Blockchain Boo climbing up. When does he get his hat? Oh, yeah, that's right. Everybody got set. Gray Ruby has his hat too.
Gray Ruby, I think, will be
has his hat or no?
Coming to fetch it soon. Scoresby has not made it yet.
It's 340 days, Keon. How many days?
It takes a full year, dude. One revolution around the sun.
He could just make his own hat already, though.
He could make it if he wanted to, but you know he's an honest man, and he's not going to make himself his own hat until he makes a full revolution. Dude. That's the rule of the
public enemy. Oh, you're getting so close to getting a hat yourself. Simple Stacker. Oh, wait. So
pretty short there.
Huh? Say that again?
It's pretty short. I mean, it's like half a year.
Still close, 104. These people are all gunning for hats. The top 10 is all trying to get one of those hats.
Trying.
Do they have to pay for shipping and handling, or do you guys handle that?
We do it, dude, the kindness of our hearts. We have special partnerships with all major U.S. shipping partners to ship hats. Yeah.
Maybe you don't have to recapture anything, nothing.
We do a little bit of recapture on the delivery man who picks it up, but we usually
pass. Crypto Sensei, Suarez, KCO. This is where it's changing here, ladies and gentlemen. We are also Satoshi, 84, 15. It's getting closer here, 12 to 14. Look at this. This could change.
Dwindling. They're like that. We're getting out like a month.
Crypto Sensei Suarez.
It's not an easy game.
Somebody went hiding here. Probably because I showed them last week. Go watch last week's episode. See who 13 was. Anyway, and the rest are in hiding. Real Bitcoin doggy. You still haven't read a story yet?
It's on it. I'm planning on reading it.
You ever read this? I think he won like first place.
If I ever get like one of those like university speeches where they ask me to speech, I'm gonna read won. Real.
Oh
Bitcoin
yeah, it was
dogs.
The top 10. Fiction was it post. The top 10? Yeah, it was this one, right? Oh no, this one. Yeah, I think it was this one. Was it the top 10? Oh yeah, it was this one. You still haven't read this yet?
His fiction. That's what I just said. I told you the circumstances under which I'll read it.
Oh wow.
Yeah, you have to go back and rewatch this episode to find out.
Gosh, what is episode 3-2 something, I think. Anyways, I tried Bitcoin Doggy. I'm sure he's kind of bummed out. You've read a story. You read everybody else's.
I didn't read everyone else's.
Oh, you
it wasn't
didn't?
My contest. It was.
It seemed like he was like. It seemed like I read it. It was actually a really good story. It should have won. Anyways, yeah. Rest of them. Sox is there. Everybody's there. 87 is 8050.
Ooh.
There you go.
A random name.
There you go. Hope to see it.
What browser are you using, by the way?
Chrome.
Using Chrome? Okay.
All right. Let's jump into... I think that's everything. Is that everything? That's everything. Let's jump into the comments. This is why people show up every week.
Any graphing? Oh, all graphing.
All graphing comments. We're going to start naming this segment the graphing comment section.
We should just do a graphing podcast. Oh. Graphing news. We
probably should.
Graphing news live.
It actually would.
We'll just lie.
It actually would. Go big.
What's going on?
This one says, glad to find your channel, brother.
Oh, thanks, brother.
Is that? Do you know that person?
Do you have a brother? I don't have a brother.
I have a lot of brothers. That's what I'm wondering. Is that
maybe
you?
It's yours. It must be yours.
They wouldn't say namaste.
Really? You don't have like a brother who's traveled a bit?
I don't even know what namaste means.
Who wears like a scarf?
Maybe they said enchilada or something. I could believe it.
As like maybe a goatee.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
Sandals.
And it looks like it's a girl. The other one is praying for this.
Oh.
So this is a graphene?
Not for us, but this. Good.
Yeah. There you go.
Pray for David Bailey, too. While you're at it.
Dude, he hates us, I'm sure.
How was the conference? Was it good?
I don't know. This one's the Fat Comments. Blockchain Book said zap, and then Undisciplined said your take about prediction marks are not being zero sum because they have positive information externalities is deeper than the article was going. It's just highlighted that they are financially zero sum for the direct participants.
That makes sense.
Wait, so what are you saying in English?
Usually when you're like modeling complex things, you try to set boundaries around the environment, the like experiment that you are considering them in. And they do that in economics too. And so when you say something is zero sum, you mean zero sum within the environment that you're considering, not like globally or everything else that encompasses it. Like when I do,
go ahead.
It's like if I do, like if I have a canister of air, I like measure the temperature of the air inside the can and I say things about what the air temperature is inside the can without saying, okay, but it's inside the can, but like the average temperature, if I consider the environment outside the can, is like higher or lower because the environment is higher or lower. It's just like you, yeah, when you do this kind of more, when you describe complex phenomena, you have to kind of make them simpler.
But don't you have to take into account those externalities though? I feel like,
I
feel like the what he's describing there, like you could, you, I agree with him. I think you should.
Sometimes it's impossible. Like there's too many variables and you just kind of, it's,
that's why it's called gambling. That's why it's called gambling. So yeah, I think I agree with that part. Now that you explained it. But I still think you have to take into account other factors, outside of the market. I don't know. Actually, I read a piece this week from Kayla Scanlon, another one. I didn't post it on Stacker News this week, but she goes into all the spirit stuff. And yeah, I feel like there's just a group of people out there that are just kind of saying the same thing. I feel like there's just like this, these group of economists, I guess you would call them, all saying the same similar things about prediction markets. And not what it's not what Undisciplined's saying. It's just gets me thinking about that. I feel like Undisciplined should probably, like, I don't know, start a podcast about this.
It is a weird, it's like a, it is a weird new powerful market, like the prediction market. It does, it is like kind of scary. It's kind of scary because it does have all of the, it has this gambling kind of, it looks a lot like gambling, but then it has these real world implications. And so imagine if you hitting the slot machine in Las Vegas had global impacts. And that's kind of what you have with prediction markets. I think it's scare, they scare people. And so they, I think there's a lot of FUD around them. There's probably some realistic concerns. I don't really think about them much, but
to me, I don't see them as scary. I just see it as, like the evolution of like degeneracy basically. So it's just, you gotta deal with it now. It's a new form and it is what it is. Like,
but it's not just degeneracy. I think it's the point I'm making is it's like it has a productive end. Like it does help people think clearly about what might happen in the future because you have lots of people with different opinions, different information.
Yeah, and so that's what they're saying. But I think by them saying that it is that is relevant. I haven't looked into it. I haven't done enough studies. But all the people that are writing about prediction markets and giving prediction markets this kind of like stage of a sort, or this kind of crown, I don't know. I don't believe that to be true just because people are writing about it, because I haven't looked into it. But I took my instinctual instinct tells me that it's not true. That's like when gambling came above and then everybody was like, now the world is full of gamblers and gambling's going to ruin. Just like, no. Same thing with the lottery. I remember when the lottery got like happened in the 90s and 80s, people were complaining about that. That's what I'm saying.
Did the lottery not exist before then?
I don't think the main lotto. What is it called? The Mega Million lotto? Is that one?
Yeah.
I forget what that one.
Well, I think every state has their own. I don't think we have.
No, I think there was like a national lottery. I think.
Really?
I believe there was.
That's interesting.
I'm the wrong guy to ask, but I could have sworn during the 90s there is just like this whole wave of people taking issue to the fact of like the lottery, and before that, before my time, was got gambling.
I love the idea of the lottery.
But prediction markets feel like an evolution of that same type of thing where people are all just like really upset with it. And like, you remember, because you would see all those stories in the 90s where people were like, oh, they won the lottery and then they became this horrible person. And it's like, no, yeah, sure. There's probably those people, but there's probably people that won the lottery and then they end up doing good with it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to say. I just don't buy the fact that like,
it's good or bad or.
Or that, like, what people are writing about
is
accurate, because I feel like this is just a thing we're going through, and then it'll pass, and then it'll just become a thing in the background.
Yeah, I think it'll be. I think we'll all have a better opinion of it when we've maybe experienced it more. I don't know, but there's some interesting theories behind prediction markets and like the good they might do, and I think that is pretty exciting. But that does. it is a lot like gambling on everything. It's basically what a prediction market is. Gambling on.
Do you ever see that movie with Lisa Kudrow and John Travolta, and they were like trying to rig the lottery? And it was kind of like that, where like
who was with Lisa Kudrow?
Hang on, let me see. I think it was called Kudrow Lottery. Yeah, Lucky Numbers. It was this movie.
Oh yeah.
So it was a black comedy. It's actually based on a true story, but it was kind of like something similar to that, where they were controlling the lottery, but they were also participating in the lottery, and then the ones delivering it. So it's kind of like what the prediction markets were, where it's like the writings that people write about are like, oh, not only are they betting on it, they're the ones who actually are announcing these things and also participating in said things. And it's like, it like hits a trifecta. And like, I don't think that's going to be that'll be a time, but I don't think that'll just forever be a thing. Am I making sense? I feel like I'm like trying to construct the thing, but I have to sit down and write about it or think about it
longer. No, I think what you're saying is, yeah, I think you're describing one potential force that is present in prediction markets, where there is like this behind the scenes insider trading type of phenomenon. I mean, most, you know, if you can stand to make a lot of money, you do. I mean, that's like, that's the origin of all finance. That's like Enron, you know, McDonald's Monopoly had a version of this, where they were like making themselves win. Some of the people that were working at like had an inside track and they had some scam going. So I think these things exist, and, you know, but you kind of have to, the construct of a prediction market, is it good or bad? It's hard to say. It definitely can be used for bad, and definitely can get like perverted.
Yeah, but there's some people that get like really upset. Like they'll use like, you know, there's people in Stacker News, there's people in the lab, they'll get upset when you say like Predex stuff. You seen the Predex stuff?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know that some people get really mad about it.
Yeah, people get really upset about that. And it's just like, to me, that just sounds, it just like, it's just a time, and then it'll be a thing, and then it'll just kind of like, it's all relative.
Yeah, I think it's just a new thing. It's like it's a more general version of the stock market, is basically what prediction markets are. And
it's funny, prediction markets really don't trigger me like very much at all, though. I don't get triggered by them the same way I get triggered by other things in the space. Or yeah. Anyways, yeah. I don't think they trigger you at all either. So
no, but I don't really get triggered usually. Maybe I do. I don't want to say that. Someone's going to find something to trigger me, but
yeah, maybe. That's all we got today on today's show. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
Well, I'm going to take off this hat and, you know, like have a normal headwear probably for the rest of the weekend. I don't think I have really any plans. There's a new burger at Burger Bar that I might try.
It's like Burger Bar? What do you mean? There's another Burger Bar?
There's only, you know, the one on Congress. Yeah. They have like a monthly burger. And this week it is I think it's like Swiss and mushroom.
Dude.
So I might do that. It's pretty exciting.
I've never been to Austin. Check out Burger Bar. The only thing I don't like
if you want a late night burger, pretty much the best place you can go for
one. The only thing I don't like about Burger Bar.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Ted?
Ted is a big fan of this cloud kitchen called the Burger Company.
Oh, interesting. Is it a ghost kitchen?
It's a ghost kitchen.
Oh, that could be good.
Yeah, he said it's good. He really enjoyed
it. I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
So the fries were meh, right? I actually hate, that's what kept me away from it. I've never tried it because I found it offensive. How? No, it's like redundant. I know I'm in Austin. You don't need to tell me that you are the Austin Burger Company.
Yeah, but people love when you...
It's like false prestige.
It no, but people love when so you say hard. Austin stuff, though.
Yeah, me want burger? I'd go there any day of the week. But Austin Burger Company? No.
I need to try this Austin Burger Company now. Anyway, the only thing I don't like about Burger Bar, I will say this. It's not as good as a Casino Camino. And...
It's not as what?
Good as Casino Camino. And...
Who?
Casino Camino. And... Oh. And I don't like the Smashburger stuff. It's Fiat.
You don't like Smashburgers?
I don't like Smashburger. I realized it's Fiat.
What is Fiat about it?
Terrible. It's like you're getting a burger patty and you're smashing it, and you're getting another good juicy burger patty and you're smashing it too, and you're ruining the fucking patty. Sorry to curse. Sorry.
Yeah, but it's about the caramelization on.
I don't care.
It tastes better.
I had a burger the other day, and it was like a nice thick burger, and that was when I realized smash burgers are dumb. I'm probably going to be the only person that feels like this, and that's okay.
No, I think there are other people who don't like flavor with you.
But don't get me wrong. I think I did. I think I was psyop to smash burgers, thinking that they were good because they were like new. But I realized they're actually not good, and they're not.
They're actually not new either. Pretty old.
Yeah. Okay. So, but I just don't think they're any good. But are they? Do they have? They're only smash burgers there, right?
Yes, they do not have a steakhouse style burger.
Yeah. See, like they just ruined the patty. It's just like, look at that. Who wants to eat that?
It's not ruined. They're just making more crust on the burger, which is actually tasty.
I'll show you Casino Camino. We can talk about food for hours. Like Casino. Oh,
I went there. I went there with Kevin Rook. Actually, we were talking about Kevin Rook earlier. I went there with Kevin Rook, and it just wasn't good.
You're telling me this is not good, buddy? Look at that. I mean, that's queso.
I mean, it looks messy.
Now that's not a smash burger. Look at that.
It's definitely not a smash burger.
Look at this. That's a good juicy burger. This looks like Wallbangers in Corpus. I think that's why I like it. Look at this dude. He knows. This dude knows.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for like volume or mess, I would agree that
it's not volume. They like make it really neat, nice and neat.
No, that is not neat. But
anyways.
Anyway, I think you should
come to Austin, try Casino Camino, and then try Burger Barn. Let me know. Yeah,
if you're not looking for like a $20, $30 steakhouse burger, and you're looking, what I was saying was like a late night burger, I would highly recommend. I personally like Burger Bar downtown. I haven't found a place that I like.
I would say Wendy's.
Wendy's?
Yeah.
That'd be good. Oh, wait, you're elevating Wendy's over Burger. Yeah. Okay, you really just lost everyone. You lost. I thought this was a debate, but this is a joke. This is a joke.
Wendy's is a good burger. Back me up, Ted.
You're a clown.
Anyways, that's the end of the show. Keon, what else you can do besides try the? So, which burger did you say they got?
Oh, yeah. If you go to their menu, if you go to order online,
can you just get them to make a regular burger? Look how thin that is, dude. If I wanted to eat a piece of thin,
that's why you stack them up.
Just make a regular circle.
Well, they also, the pat, like everything, it's just like a more compact burger. It's like the burger you get at like a McDonald's or a Wendy's. Those are generally styled after.
For the record, I do like Burger Bar because they have jalapenos there. You can put them in there.
So which one is it? They do a good job. If you go to their online menu, I think that's the only way you can see it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, order online.
Let's see if this works here. They took Bitcoin or no?
They do not yet. But
they have a vampire milkshake?
That is their monthly milkshake.
Is it a drink or like a
Texas Angus? There you go. The top.
Which one is this one?
Top left.
Oh, the mushroom one. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So that's their monthly burger. I'll go check that out.
It's gonna be smash though.
I like a smash burger. I think this
is the one I always get. Where is it at? I always get the double cheeseburger, the Wagyu one.
Yeah, that's their classic.
And then I get the Wagyu. And then I add the grilled onions, and then I add the fresh jalapeno. That's what I do.
Why not just go to Wendy's?
I'd rather go to Wendy's. But look, see how like this is. Oh man. Anyways.
It's called a Maillard reaction. It's like it's the thing that you look for on a steak. It's like the difference between boiling a steak and cooking it in a pan.
I think it's
basically what it is. You get more of the cooking steak in a pan flavor when you smash it.
I like seeing the part in the middle where you can see the beef and the.
I think that's fair. I think both burgers are good. I wouldn't go so far as to say smash burgers are bad or Wendy's is better than Burger Bar.
Anyways,
went over the line.
This segment sponsored by Burger Bar. Check out our local Burger Bar.
Yeah, I'd love Burger Bar.
See how we showed that?
I could live off.
Anyways, Stackers, have yourself a great weekend. Keon.
Zap.